Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuma Mem Zayin. We begin the new parak with a Mishnah. They brought out to the Kohen Gadol. From where did they bring it? Says Rashi, Milishkas HaKelim, from the storage room where they kept the Kelim. What did they bring him? A kaf, a large sized spoon, a ladle. And a shovel. The Gemara will figure that the Mishnah is referring to the machta for the coals, which go together with the ikteris. So they brought him a ladle and a machta. Chofan malei chofnav. He went ahead and he took a scoop. He cupped his hands together and took out a handful of ikteris, of the ground ikteris, v'nosan l'secha kaf, and he placed the ikteris into the ladle. Hagadol fi gadloi, a large kohen who has a large capacity in his large hands, will scoop out a large amount of keteris. V'akatan fi katnoi, and a smaller amount if it's a smaller kohen. So it's all relative to the size of the kohen's hands. It's personal. V'kach ha'yisei madasa, and this was the required measurement. There was no set measure. It was based on the capacity of the cupped hands of each individual kohen. So what did he do after that? Notas ha-machta b'yaminoi. He took hold of the machta with the coals in his right hand, v'sakaf b'smoiloi, and the ladle in his left hand, and walked along towards the kodesh hakadosh. Says Ram machta? Why would they bring him a ladle and a machta? He already had a machta. Hatanale, we already had a Mishnah earlier, Natas HaMachta, he took hold of the Machta, V'olor Yisham Mizbeach, and went up to the Mizbeach, V'choyse V'yored, and he scoops up some of the coals, and it comes down, he already had a Machta filled with coals, why does he need another one? Hasa Machta de Gecholim. There, we're speaking about the Machta to contain coals, V'ocha Machta de Gecholim, here the Machta that is presented to him today, I should say, presented here together with the ladle, is for the k'teris, which means it was a machta full of k'teris. The sanya, as we learned in the Braisa, which elaborated further on the halacha of the Mishnah, they brought him an empty ladle from the lishka sakelim, the room which contained the utensils, u'machta gedusha shel k'teris min lishka sviz'avtinas, and a machta filled and heaping with k'teris from the lishka sviz'avtinas. So when the Mishnah says, Hoytzi lo es hakaf, that means they brought him an empty ladle from Lishkas HaKelim. When the Mishnah continues, Ves HaMachta, that's a machta filled with teres, from which he would take a handful and pour it into the kaf. When the Mishnah concludes, Notas HaMachta b'minay, Ves HaKaf b'smoylei, there the Mishnah is referring to the machta containing coals, which he holds in his right hand, and the kaf in his left. Continues the Gemara. Chafam le chafnav, he took a handful, v'noitzen techa kaf, hagodol fi godloi, akotna fi kotnoi, depending on the capacity of his hands, v'kachay semidasa, and this was the required amount. Says the Gemara, why did he get involved with a spoon here, with a ladle? Kaf b'yem ha-kippurim, lamali. Mele chafnav, v'hevi amarachmano. The pasuk says, that the king godol takes a handful of teres, v'hevi, and brings it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It appears like it's meant to be a personal, a manual thing, and not get a kli involved. Just scoop up some teres and bring it in without getting any kelim involved. Why was the ladle involved? Says the Gemara Mishum Zalai Efsha, because practically it wouldn't work otherwise. Remember, he has to bring two things into Kodesh HaKadoshim. He has to deliver the k'teris and deliver the coals upon which he puts the k'teris. So what should he do? Ne'ayel. Should he come in once with the k'teris? V'hod ne'ayel. And come in again. So first he'll bring the, Rashi says first the machta with the coals. And then v'hod ne'ayel and come in again. Leave and come back in again with the k'teris and pour it on the coals. Come in twice. Havo achas amarachmano. Torah says behavi. Mimbeis la porechas, indicating it's meant to only be one visit. He's not meant to come in twice. So that's out. What about the next option? Nishkale l'kteris b'choifnav. Suppose he brings the k'teris in his hands. V'nachte l'machta ola. So let him grab the k'teris in his hands and place the machta with the coals on top of the k'teris, which is in his hands. So how's he gonna carry a hot machta with hot burning coals on his hands? So either the k'teris is a bit heaping, so he puts the machta on the k'teris, in which case it won't come into contact with his hands. Or some of us point to the Tosis back on Mem Dalad on the base, Divrei Masa B'chol Yom, according to the Riva, there was a leather pouch around the machta, so that he doesn't get burnt. In which case, there's no concern here as well. Let him place this leather-wrapped machta on top of his teres, on top of his hands, v'leil, and walk in that manner. So it's just one trip. And he can bring both at once. Why does he need a ladle to contain the teres? Isn't it better to bring it in personally? Says the Gemara, okay, that gets him to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but once he gets there, he's stuck. Ki mati hasam, once he arrives into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, heichel yavn, what should he do? How is he going to maneuver himself? Nishkele b'shine? Is he going to grab hold of the machta using his teeth? See, both hands are occupied. He doesn't have a free hand to take the machta off the k'teris. So previously, perhaps another kohen would help him out, but in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's only the kohen gadol. How is he going to remove the machta and place it on the floor? Nishkele b'shine? Should he remove it using his teeth? V'nachse l'machta, and place the machta down on the floor? That's disrespectful. Hashtel of Melech, Basar Vadam, in Asian king. Look, you don't even do that before a human king, Lifnei Melech. Malchim Lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Alachas Kamim V'Kama, certainly, you don't mean to do that in front of Hashem. Hilkach Le'afshar, so that's out, and we're stuck. There's no practical solution other than getting a kaf involved. V'kibin Le'afshar, since you have no other alternative, Avdinan, we follow a precedent which we had observed earlier, because the Ashkechan ben Nesim, as we find by the Nesim, and they donated k'teres to Nachnukas Abayis, the pasuk says, kaf achas, malei k'teres. It was a spoonful of k'teres here as well. We follow that example. Apparently a kaf is an appropriate, respectful way of bringing in k'teres. And therefore we pour the k'teres into the kaf, and the kohen takes hold of the macht in his right hand, the kaf of k'teres in his left hand, and walks into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Says the Gemara, what's the main ingredient here? Who's the main player? The coals in the machta, which are only there to facilitate the burning of k'teres, or is it the k'teres itself, which defines his avoida? Of course, it's the k'teres. So why would you place the machta in his right, which is a more prominent location, his right hand, yamin is chashev, and the k'teres merely in his left? Yitziva ba'ara is a phrase. Yitziva, the citizen, is sitting down on the ground. V'giyoyra, and the alien, the immigrant, Shmei Shemaya, up in the sky, up high. He's placing the secondary element before the primary. Says the Gemara, you know why the machta is in his right? Zumaruba, because the machta contains coals which are more in volume and heavier than the k'teris, which is in the ladle. Vizumu etas, the k'teris is less, and therefore he must hold the machta on his right rather than the left. Vafilu bizman sheshnein shoven, you know, even if perhaps it so happens that the kohen has large sized hands and a large capacity, in which case the k'teris can perhaps weigh as much as the gecholim and the machta, which were three kaf. Well, we don't differentiate. We implement a standard procedure all throughout. We assume, generally speaking, the kohen's hands are relatively smaller, held less than the three kav of the machta, and therefore we establish a procedure where the kohen carries the machta in his right. Ukemaseh the Rabbi Yishmol ben Kimchis. An example of this would be the kohen gadol, Rabbi Yishmol, son of Kimchis, that was his mother's name, who was a large fellow and had a very large capacity in his cupped hands. Even so, says the Gemara, we don't differentiate. Another teretz, why the hot machten is right, zu chama. The machten is sort of warm or hot, in which case, better place it in his right hand, vizu tzoynenes, as opposed to the teretz, which is cool, and therefore, it belongs in his left. Rabbi Nechananel seems to say that the right hand is more tolerant to heat, and therefore, prefer that he carries the hot machten in his right hand. Let's continue with Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. Amru Olav al Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, the following was related regarding Rabbi Shmuel. He was a Kohen Gadol during the time of Beis HaMikdash HaSheni. He was a tzaddik. And the Maharsha actually says, Kimchis was his mother's name. What was his father's name? Piavi. He was the one mentioned back in Avtesa Mar Aleph. Rabbi Shmuel ben Pavi, who was Mishamish 10 years in a Kohen Gadol capacity. He's also mentioned the Gemara Pesachim in a favorable light. So Bishmol and Kimchis was a large-sized fellow, Shoyachofen Arbaos Kapen, B'Meloi Chafnov. His Meloi Chafnaim, his handful, would contain 4 characters. V'Omer, and he would relate as follows. He would praise his mother, Kol HaNoshem Zirdu, all other mothers were engaged in Zered, we'll see soon what this means, V'Zered Ima, however, my mother's Zered, Olalagag, it surpassed them all, went up to the roof, it was superior to them all. And therefore, I ended up being large, strong, and heavy, and healthy. Ikadami. Now, what did he mean by saying, Zeredu, Olalagag, was Zeredu, my mother was superior in that sense? Ikadami. Some say it's referring to the food that they ate during the time of Ibro when they were expecting. Ikadami Ba'arasan is referring to this chopped up grain, which was fed, highly nutritious meal, which was fed to the Ubrais, to the expectant women. Okay, the Rabbi Bar Yonason, the Omer Rabbi Bar Yonason, Omer Bichil. Arasan, this sort of oatmeal, Yor Falachoyle. This nutritious cereal is actually very beneficial to a choyla, to a weak person. And Rashi brings stam noshem muborois choylois. Typically, an expectant woman is in a weakened state of health, and they would eat this nutritious meal. And what he was saying was that his mother's portion surpassed everybody else's, and that's why he ended up being so large and strong. Vikadamri, some say it's a reference to the Shechva Zera, which his mother conceived from. B'Shechva Zera. What does this mean? Ukhda Rabbi Avo. The Rabbi Avo Rami, yes, Astira. Ksiv. One pasuk in Tehillim says, Vatazreini Chayil Amalchama. Uksiv Hama'azreini Chayil Amalchama. So one place, it's spelled with an Aleph. Hashem, you girdled me, you prepared me for war. Another pasuk, it's missing an Aleph. Vatazreini. What does this mean? Omar David Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Zeirisani Vezeirastani. Rashi explains, Zeirastani means like winnowing. Zeira, you separate the chaff, the psoilus from the grain. Hashem, you took the tipa of Zera, of my father, and you chose the Borur Shabor, Rashi says, the best part of that tipa. We know that a tipa, today we know that a tipa contains millions of elements. He chose the best portion and used that to generate, to create the fetus which eventually developed into David HaMelech. So Vatazreini, the Loshon of Zoira, you've chosen the best part, and it leads to the next word, Vezerastani. So the two words are related. Vatazreini means you chose the best, and Vezerastani, through that you mezarz me, you created me to be strong, healthy, energetic. That's why the first pasuk is missing the aleph, Vatazreini. And this is what Rabbi Shmuel is referring to. The zeret here is a lashon of a bundle, Rashi says, a chavila. Chavila is radim. The tipa contains a lot of elements. It's like a bundle. So all other women, they can see from a part of that bundle, but in my case, it was the most preferred part, most healthy part, in which case, the result was a strong, healthy child. Okay, Amar Lav al Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. There was once a story related regarding Rabbi Shmuel, who was a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Pamachas siper dvarim. It so happens that one Yom Kippur, he found a need to go out and have a discussion im Arabi echot b'shuk, with an Arab king out in the street. In between the avoidos, he had to go out and converse with this melech. Apparently, it was a very important topic, perhaps pekuach nefesh. And what happened? He became tamei v'nitaza tzinoira mipiv, a sprinkle of saliva sprayed out from the pair of the goy al pagoda onto the clothing of the kohen gadol, in which case he became tamei. He was out of commission. V'nichnas yishevav achiv v'shimash tachtav, and yishevav, his brother, came in to replace him as a backup kohen gadol. V'ro'a saw iman, and their mother Kimchas was zoicha to see on that day shnei kohanim gedolim v'yom echad, two kohanim gedolim serving on the same day, on the same Yom Kippur. V'shiv Amru. There's another story regarding Rabbi Shmuel. V'shiv Amru Olav al v'shmov and Kimchas. Pamachas yotza v'siper im hegmoin echad b'shuk. There's another time that he had to go leave the Beis Hamikdash and have a discussion with a governor out in the street. And once again, the same thing happened. V'nitazot tzinoyur mipiv, and a spray of saliva squirted out from his mouth, al begadav, and landed on his begadim, which case he became tummy. Chachamim regarded a goy like a zov, so he was no longer fit for the avoida. V'nichnas Yosef Echav, and his brother Yosef took over v'shimash tachtav and served in his place. And once again, v'rasa imon shnei kohanim gedolim b'yom echad, and his mother, their mother, was zeiche to see, to observe both kohanim, both sons, serving kapasiv kun gedolim on that same day, on that same Yom Kippur. Tanu Rabbanan Shiva Banim Hoylo LeKimchas. She actually had seven sons, V'kulan Shimshu B'Kohanim G'dolim, who all served in one way or another in Kohanim G'dolim capacity. Doesn't seem like they were all designated the Kohanim G'dolim long term, because you see that Gemara Daf Tes doesn't really mention any other career of Kohanim G'dolim except for Bishmol Ben Piavi. So apparently they served, but perhaps whether in a primary position or as a backup. In any case, she was zeichat that all seven of her sons were zeichat to be kohanim gedolim, which was an astounding feat. Amr lah chacham turned to her and said, what was the secret? What's the secret ingredient? Ma osis, what did you do? What tremendous mitzvah did you do? She zochas lekach that you were zeichat to experience this wondrous phenomenon. Amr lah, she told him, look, I had extra tznius. Miyamai, all throughout my life, Lairo Kurais Besai, the beams of my home did not see, never noticed Kale Sa'ari, the braids of my hair. I always kept my hair covered at all times. Of course, as Yishanim points out, Bishah Shaisi Khail Khasam, when it was practical and feasible. Interesting, Rashi brings a Yishami, which sources this concept in a pasuk. You can find the Rashi a little bit below the halfway point on the Amud, beginning with the words "Loiro Kuris Beisai." Says Rashi, "Ruisi b'Talmud Yerushalmi." I saw in the Yerushalmi Kol Kvuda Bas Melach Prima Mimishpet Zayis Zov Lavusha. This is a pasuk in Tehillim, and we learn from here that an isha who's Bas Melach Prima, who conducts herself with tznius, isha tznua ruuya latzis mimeno kain gadol. She's roy to bear a kain gadol halavush mishpatzeis zov, who wears golden mishpatzeis boxes and the chayshin and the ephod. So this is a source and a pasuk that the tznius of a mother can have such a profound impact and influence on the child. Should be zeicha that he becomes a kain gadol. We find in Perkei Avos as well when Reb Lezer ben Aruch, the other the Tana, that he mentioned the milus of his talmidim. He said, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Ashrei Yeladatoi. It's a schus of his mother. So although the father actually teaches the Torah to the child, we see from the Gemara here that it's the appropriate conduct of the mother, especially tznias, which has a profound impact on the child. In fact, the Madrega of the Chazon Ish was attributed to the tznias of his mother. They asked his mother, "What did you do to be zeche? To have such a great son?" And she said, along these lines, she says, "I was always very meticulous with covering my hair in all situations. In fact, listen to this. She said even when she washed her hair, it was only one portion at a time. She would uncover only that part of her hair when she actually needed to wash. She was echad achazanish. In any case, this was Kimchis' response to Chachamim, due to my tzniyas. Amrullah, so they responded, no, harbi asukin. You know, many tried this, this skula, v'loya ilu, and it didn't really work out too successfully. Apparently, there's something deeper than that. There's a secret that lies behind that, meaning, sure, this is a great thing, but perhaps a tefillah is the tears, whatever else he did to bring this this skula, this tzniyas, to such a successful outcome. Okay, so let's just stop for a second and summarize. We learned that the Kohen Gadol received a kaf and a macht. The Gemara concluded the kaf was empty, the macht was filled with teres, from which he would take a scoop, a handful, a chafina of teres, which he would transfer over to the empty ladle. The macht, which contained gecholm, that was another machta, that he would carry in his right hand, the kaf with the keteris in his left, and the answer was, because the reason was because the machta was heavier, was hot, and deserved his right hand, as opposed to the keteris, which he would carry in his left hand. And the Gemara says this method was implemented throughout, regardless of what type of kohen gadol and what type of hand capacity he had. We just implemented a standard procedure, machta always in the right, and kaf in the left. Tan Rabban, let's proceed to the koimetz by a mincha. So the koimetz would mean taking a fistful of the mincha material, whether it's soilus, etc., whatever it was. That was the kmitza which was brought on the mizbeach. The pasuk says, Veherim mimenu bikum tzoy. Tan Rabban says the b'raisa bikum tzoy, that teaches us, it has to be personal. You have to do a masa kmitza. You have to scoop out. Shelo yasa mida l'kmitz. You can't just make an artificial kmitz. You can't make a mida, a measuring cup. So you know how much would fit in to your fistful. You don't want to get yourself dirty. So you just take a kli, which contains that capacity, and use that to be kmitz the mincha. You can't do that. It needs to be a personal masa. You have to actually approach the mincha and do a kmitza using your fingers. Iboilu, what about chafina? Our discussion. You take your cupped hands and you scoop out a handful of that keteris. What about there? That has to be personal? It has to use a masa chafina? Using his hands? Or perhaps creating a measuring cup, which corresponds, whose capacity corresponds to the exact amount which would fit into his hands. Is that okay? Iboilu, the Bnei Yeshiva asked, can you create a measure on account of the chafina? Perhaps it's different than koimetz. By kmitz it says bekumtzai. It's personal. It has to be in his koimetz, in his fistful. On Yom Kippur it doesn't say bechafnav, rather ella meloy chafnav k'teres samim daka, a handful of k'teres samim loy. Here, perhaps, you don't have to do a masa chafina, an actual scooping. As long as you have that same amount, you have a kli which, whose capacity corresponds to his handful, that's okay. Oidimu, or perhaps, no. We'll connect it to koimetz. It has to be similar to koimetz. Yolif meloy meloy mikumtzai. Perhaps we draw a gzera shava here, and we connect the two words. Meloy, which is stated by chafina, meloy chafnav, and meloy, which is mentioned by koimetz, by a mincha, it says, v'kametz misham meloy kumtzai, create a connection, like zereshava, just as over there, it comes about through a masa kmitza, here as well, we insist on a masa chafina. Which way is it? Tashma, let's bring right from our Mishnah. Mishnah says, well, the handful, the chafina, is personal. It's relative to his hand size. And the Mishnah continues. V'kachayso midasa. What do these three words in the Mishnah mean? V'kachayso midasa. Toshma v'kachayso midasa. My love, perhaps, the Mishnah means, Shimrata lasis mida moise. He can make a mida. He can make a measuring cup. whose capacity contains the very exact amount that will be contained in his hands. You don't have to have a scoop, a chafina taking place, as long as it's malay chafnav, the exact amount which would fit into his hands. That's what the Mishnah meant. A midah is enough. Shimrot salas is midah, oh, it's malay. That's not what the Mishnah means. Hachikam, rather, as follows. Mishnah means he has to reinsert the keteris into his hands, meaning he makes one scoop outside, fills his hands, puts it into the kaf, as we mentioned, uses it to transport, to deliver the keteris into the Kodesh HaKadosh. But really, ideally, it should be a personal offering. He should be carrying it in his hands manually. But out of necessity, we say it's not practical, he needs to use a kli. But perhaps once he gets to the Kodesh HaKadosh and he already placed the machta with coals on the floor and now he has a free hand, let him go ahead and reinsert the keteris into his hands. Chayzer v'chayfen. Meaning he does a chafina outside, chayfen, that's number one. V'chayzer v'chayfen, and does another one inside when he arrives. Perhaps that's what the Mishnah means. When it says, v'kachayz v'midasa, he has to re-measure, so to speak, the keteris in his hands when he's inside. V'kachayz v'chayzer v'chayfen l'fnim. Doesn't mean you make a measuring cup. It's not referring to that at all. It's referring to re-cupping his hands, re-scooping up the keteris. Says, well, if that's the case, you have just concluded, you have just brought clarity to our shiloh. We actually had this shiloh. Whether or not that is necessary, whether he has to go ahead and re-scoop the keteris inside. Shamas Mino, we have a conclusion from this Mishnah. Chayfen, he does one chafina outside, v'chayze v'chayfen, and another one inside. Says, well, no, maybe not. Dilma, maybe that's not pshat in the Mishnah. Perhaps the Mishnah means Shimrotza lasis midoisa. If he wishes, he can make a measuring cup instead of actually scooping up the keteris. Basically, what the Gemara is saying is it can be this pshat or that pshat. Therefore, you can't conclude with clarity on either account. We have three words in the Mishnah. V'kachayse midasa. The Mishnah could be referring to either one of two things. Either you can create a measuring cup instead of doing the chafina personally, or the Mishnah means, you have to re-scoop it inside. So since we don't know what the exact mashmois of the Mishnah is, we can't really conclude in either direction. Inami, or perhaps it's a third pshat to the Mishnah. When he does that scoop, make sure it's not underfilled, but not overfilled either. It's meant to be a full handful, but not overflowing or not underfilled as well. So bottom line is, we don't have a conclusion to our shaila whether or not chafina is kosher using a kli. Continues the Gemara Tana Rabbana, Maloi Kumtzai. This is the other pasuk by a koimetz, by Mincha. The koimetz misham, Maloi Kumtzai. A koimetz fill, a fold koimetz, filled koimetz. Yochel merubetz, merburetz. Perhaps overfilling is even preferred. Yochel merburetz, protruding from all sides. So he takes a sloppy scoop and has material protruding all throughout between his fingers. Yachal mavuritz, perhaps that's also acceptable. Tamalayma bikum tzai. Now we go back to the other pasuk. V'herim menu bikum tzai. Inside the grass, inside the scoop. So it can't be sticking out in all directions. I bikum tzai. If that's the case, it has to be bikum tzai, contained in the koimetz. Yochal afilu b'rosh etzba'isa, perhaps. The pasuk is telling you, the less the better. Contain it, restrict it. Use your fingertips. B'rosh etzba'isa. Just a little bit, a little pinch of seilus. That constitutes a koimetz. Tamad loy memalai kumtze. No, a koimetz fill. A full-fledged fistful. Kedekamtze inshi. The way people ordinarily would take a fistful. What does that mean? Okay, so how does that work? Choyfesh sholosh etzba'osav al pisas yodei. He bends over his three middle fingers onto his palm, the koimetz, and he scoops out in that manner. So we have two psukim by Kmitza. We have one pasuk which says bikumtzai, and another pasuk which says meloi kumtzai. From the word bikumtzai we learn it has to be done personally with a maase kmitza. We also learn that the material has to be contained within those fingers. It can't be sticking out on all sides. From the pasuk of Malaikum, we learn that it has to be a full, a full koimetz, not just using his fingertips, rather a full-fledged fistful. And the Brisa continues, ubemachmas ubmarcheshes. When he's doing a kmitza by those minchas, machmas marcheshes, which are already pre-baked, pre-fried, and the material, the substance, is rather stiff, and it's not powdery. In this case, when he takes a kmitza, he's going to have some material sticking out. So what does he do to even things out? He evens it out. He smooths it out using his thumb and his pinky. Moichek begudloi malamal. He takes his thumb and runs across the top to smooth it out. Ubeetzboik tana malamata. And a small finger on bottom. And runs it back and forth. This way, he only has what's in the fingers, in the actual bekumtza. Vizui avoida koshev shev migdash. And this is the most difficult task in the migdash, to get it right, to get it perfectly positioned, to have a proper scoop and contained inside the fist, inside the fingers, nothing sticking out, not too little, not too much. Says the Gemara, Zui v'suloi, this is the only difficult task in the Beis HaMikdash. V'ika malika, what about malika, which in case he takes a bird, does the malika shchita with one hand, it's quite a complicated feat. V'ika chafina, what about scooping the k'teres and Yom Kippur, which is also something that requires expertise. Says the Gemara, Ella, rather, Zui may avoid this. Kosh Hashem v'Mikdash, we mean to say a k'mitza is on that list. It's one of those complicated tasks done in the Beis HaMikdash alongside malika and chafina. Amar Rabbi Yechon, boy, Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzo. Rabbi Yeshua asked the following shaila. We just learned that kmitza is meant to be contained within his fingers. Bikumtza. It's not meant to be mevurats. It's not meant to be protruding out of that kmitza. Beina binayim, shemaloi kumtza mao. What about material which is trapped between his fingers? Is it considered part of the koimetz? Do we regard it like the interior of his hand, or is it considered like the shirayim, the leftovers, the outside, not within the koimetz? Mao, what is that look? Omra Papa, let me explain the shayla. The gavoi, whatever material is visible from the inside, so he scooped, and you take a look at the fingers, and you see it from the inside. The gavoi loiti boilach. Certainly in that case, no question applies. The vadai kaimetsu. Because of course, it is treated halachically like the kaimetz. It connects with the interior of the kmitz. The baroi, the material that's visible from the outside, like tiboylach, there again there's no shal. The vadai shiraimu, it's certainly considered shiraim. Because it's not within the kmitz. Ki tiboylach, when does the question apply? The beni beni. When you have material trapped between those fingers, which are visible neither inside, neither outside. My, what is halacha here? It's no here nor there. Is it considered like kmitza or shirayim? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, hadar pashto Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzo. Rabbi Yeshua himself provided clarity to the shayla. Beina benayim savak nenu. It's not considered like kmitza. It's not considered like shirayim. It has the status of a safek. Now you'll ask, what kind of clarity is that? That was the shayla. Is it this or that? He responds, well, it's a suffix. Tezis asked the kasha. Tezis says, what he meant to say is that it's not something that we can verify. Elo vadai bevadai suffiku. It's considered suffix with certainty. What does he mean to say? It can be viewed from both sides. It's a combined entity. It can be considered part of the inside and part of the outside. And therefore, the Gemara says, you can't really get clarity here. It's a joint entity. It's considered koimetz and shirayim. It has an element, so to speak, of both. So now we're really stuck. What do we do? As far as being makter, you're only meant to be makter the koimetz, not shirayim. So if it's shirayim, it doesn't belong on the mizbeach. But maybe it's koimetz. Maybe it connects with the inside of his hands. So what do we do? Heichi ovid. How does he proceed? Omar b'chanina. Rabbi Chanina says like this. Makter koimetz l'chudei t'chila. First, we makter the true koimetz. V'hodu b'ena b'naim. And then afterwards, we makter this material. Why? Because if it's koimetz, then he's doing fine. But in case it's Shirayim, then we don't want to do the Shirayim before the Kohenitz. Deep Amres Ben Abinayim Bereshit, because if you'll do it the other way around, you'll be marked the Ben Abinayim, the material trapped between the fingers, before the Kemitza, Dilma Shirayim Ninu. There's always a chance that's considered Shirayim. And as we said, it has an element of Shirayim to it. Vahavili Shirayim Shechosru, in which case, if you marked the Shirayim before the Kemitza made its way to the Mizbeach, then in effect, some of the Shirayim went missing before the Kemitza was hooked there, and that's a problem. Vahavili Shirayim Shechosru Ben Kemitza Laktara. It's Shirayim that went missing between the Kemitza and the Aktorah of the Kemitza. That's problematic. V'amar ma, as we learned, Shirayim Shechosru Ben Kemitza Laktara, when that happens, Ein Maktirin Alenis HaKemitza. You can no longer remark the Ktoras, the Kemitza. Therefore, says the Gemara, do the Kemitza first, and then the Ben HaBenayim. So if the Ben HaBenayim is considered like Kemitza, then you're okay. You just did it in two stages. First, you did the big part of the Kemitza, and then the secondary element of the Kemitza. But you've addressed the other possibility as well. Just in case the Ben HaBenayim is considered like Shirayim, you don't want to do that before the Kemitza. Because in that case, some of the Shirayim has in effect gone missing. In which case, the Kemitza is invalidated. So do the Kemitza first, and then the Ben HaBenayim. Says Moyachi, if that's your concern, then Hashtanami, here as well. What kind of solution are you offering? Do the Kemitz first and then the Ben HaBenayim? That's also problematic. If you're Choshish, that material trapped between his fingers has a din of Shirayim, how could you be marked as Shirayim on the Mizbeach? Ikri Khan, we're going to apply the Halacha, which says, Kol Shem Emenu Le'ishim, whenever you have an entity from which you are marker, which contributed to the Mizbeach, such as a Mincha, which contributes a Kemitza to the Mizbeach, the rest is considered Shirayim. You cannot bring it on the Mizbeach. How are you with Baal Taktiru? There's an Issa, there's a love upon being marked in the Shirayim. So I can take a chance. Maybe the Ben HaBenayim is considered Shirayim. So true, you're going to be marked in the Kemitz first, but then how can you proceed? I mean, mark to that material which perhaps is considered Shirayim. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Beidav Shimon Pasi, the mark to lay l'shumetz. He says like this, the Chiddush, depends on your kavana when you mark to the Shirayim. Here he says, the mark to lay l'shumetz. When he's going to be marked to the Ben HaBenayim material, you know what he's going to have in mind? He's going to think to himself, Rashi says, the mas nevoimer. He expresses a condition. He says like this: "Ish Shirayim Ninu, Harihen Kishar Eitzim." Quoting Rashi, if this indeed is considered Shirayim, I'm not sure, but if it's Shirayim, my intent here is not to be mocked or like a carbon. I'm using it as firewood, in which case is no issue. K'Rabbi Eliezer, as Rabbi Eliezer tells us, the son Rabbi Eliezer Omer, "L'Reach Nechoyach Iatamala." There's a problem bringing Shirayim onto Mizbeach if it's for the Kavanah of Imakter or Korban L'Reich Nechoyach, to create that pleasant aroma, so to speak, for Hashem. That's problematic. Aval Atamala L'Shem Eitzim. But you can take other material and bring it on Mizbeach if it's not for the Kavanah, for the purpose of Makter or Korban. You're doing it just simply to supply the Mizbeach with firewood. That's okay. It's not L'Chatchila, but out of necessity we do that here as well. Take the Kemitz, put on the Mizbeach. Take the Ben HaBenayim, be marked to it. If it's part of the Kemitza, you're okay. If it's already Shirayim, then just have a mind. It's considered firewood for the Mizbeach. Honich l'Arbelezer. Yeah, this works according to Arbelezer. El Rabbanon, Michael Meimar, according to Rabbanon, who don't subscribe to this view. They hold, you can't take Shirayim and place it on the Mizbeach, even if you're Kavanah L'Shem Eitzim. So now we're back stuck. How are you going to be marked to the Ben HaBenayim? Amav Mori, the Kamtzi Shmeini, you get a plump Kehanim whose fingers will lock very tightly against each other, in which case there's no concern of any material being trapped between those fingers. Hashtadasas Lachim. Once you've arrived at this solution, okay, Rebbelezer Nami, Lechatchila, the Kamtzi Shmeini, even according to Rebbelezer, Lechatchila, You're meant to get these types of kayanim who will present no concern about any material being trapped between their fingers. I mean, even Kodesh Blazer, who says, when there's no way out, you can be mocked at things on the Mizbeach L'Shem Eitzah, but that's not Halachat Chila. He's speaking about a case where there was a taroivis, some a varim of one carbon got mixed with the other carbon, you have no choice, nothing you can do, so you mocked everything together, and you have that in mind. That the varim chatas, which don't belong on the Mizbeach, will be Eitzah. But here, in this case, you have a much more preferred solution, which is Kamsi Shmeini, to avoid the problem altogether. The Yaivitz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, has a shayla. He says, suppose a kohen whose turn is to do avodah today, it's his job, and he has a mincha on hand, should go ahead and pass it over to the Shmeini, the mechayiv to do that. He leaves it to Rechayin, and he actually has a shayla regarding Yom Kippur. Because the Gemara soon will tell us the same discussion of a material trap in the seam applies in Yom Kippur during the Chafina. So he says, well, we don't really find that this was a prerequisite, that a Kohen Gadol has to be a Shaman. So he says, maybe the Halacha was known in the previous Derech. They didn't have this concern. They knew the Halacha. They were able to determine the status of the material trap in the seam. It was only forgotten in later Derech. And then, indeed, the only way out, the preferred way out, is to use a Kohen Gadol Shaman. Continues the Gemara with another couple of shaylos. Boy Rav Papa, Beina Benayim Shemloi Chafnav Mal. Okay, we're going to apply the same shaylos to Mnoi Chafnayim Yom Kippur. He's meant to take a handful of Keteris, join together his hands, cup them together, and do the Keteris in that manner. What about Keteris found trapped between the hands inside the seam? What is that considered? Is that like the interior or not? Mal, what is that look? Says him in 1 second. Why is Rav Papa re-asking the same shayla that we just had by Kmitza? Maika Mibayle. Igamar Meloi Meloi Mihasam. You see, on Amud Aleph, he had a possible Gzeir Shava. Meloi Meloi. Meloi Chafnav to Meloi Kumtzai. Which would connect the two Karbanis, the Chafinis Turis and the Koimitz HaMincha. So if you subscribe to that Gzeir Shava, Hainu Hach, then Chafinis Turis and Yom Kippur and Kmitzas Mincha throughout the year are one and the same. They have the same identical procedure. So if by Koimitz we had a shayla regarding Bein HaBenayim, then there's no reason why that same halacha, that same shayla, wouldn't apply by Chafina. There's no reason to re-ask the same shayla by Chafina. It's simply a duplicate. Hainu Hach, it's the same shayla we just had. Why is Rav Papa presenting the shayla again by Chafina? Rav Papa Hachi Boile. Rav Papa was not working with the Gzeir Shava. Put aside the Gzeir Shava. He was asking a shayla specific to Meloi Chafnav. Rav Papa Hachi Boile. You see, the pasuk reads as follows: V'lokach Meloi Hamachta Gach Leish. He takes hold of the machta with coals. Me'al Mizbeach Vnei Hashem. U'Meloi Chafnav and a handful of k'turis. K'turis Samim Daka. Pasuk concludes, Vehevi Mebeis Al Parechas. So the Keteris must be delivered, Vehevi. The question is, the first word of that Pasuk, V'lokach, he takes hold, he grabs hold. Is that referring to the Machta and also the Keteris mentioned later on the Pasuk? Or is it only specific to the Machta? The question is, regarding the term V'lokach, is it also referring to the Keteris mentioned later on the Pasuk, or not? What's the Nafkamina? Our shayla, Rav Papa Hachi Boile, Meloi Chafnav Vehevi Beinan. Is the pasuk simply requiring him to deliver the keteris Vehevi? That's all. Ha'ikar, and material trapped in the seam is also being delivered by the kohen. Hold on, it's not within his cupped hands, but it's being delivered by the kohen, meaning it's part of the hava. It comes along with the rest, and therefore it's included in the. Chafina, it's meant to be brought on the to be hooked on the Kodesh HaKadosh. Yeah, it subscribes, it's considered as part of the Chafina. Perhaps you need velokach as well. Now velokach is a very specific term, taking with kavana, a purposeful act. And here Keter is trapped in the seam, v'haleka, doesn't really fit that bill. That's not really what he has in mind. He's scooping out the turris. He's taking a handful. His kavana is to fill his hands with the turris. That's the maisa chafina. The material that gets trapped along in the seam, that's secondary to the actual filling of his hands. It's coming along for the ride. That's not called the lokach. You're not actually taking that. It's not a mas al kicha directed at that material trapped in the seam. And therefore, it's not considered in the lokach, which is a requirement by keteris as well. V'alakam. Teku. We leave it unresolved. So once again, the Gemara concludes that our Papa had the same shaila on Yom Kippur. He takes a handful of turris. We have some material trapped in the seam. Do we need just vehevi? Bring it along. That's also part of vehevi. It comes along. Or does the masa chafina only include anything actually within his hands, but not something that just comes along for the ride? Continues the Gemara with several more shailas presented by Rav Papa regarding kmitza and chafina. Amar Rav Papa, pshitali, it's clear to me that the proper way to do kmitza, malay kumtze, could the kamtze inchi, as people ordinarily would scoop, would take a fistful. What does that mean? If you have a bowl of a soilus or whatever material a mincha has, says Rav Papa, the proper way of doing it is sliding your hand in a diagonal into the material and grabbing a fistful of the material. So coming in at an angle and scooping out. That's the way it's commonly done. This way you fill your palm with the material, fill it up, and then you scoop it out. Boy Rav Papa, says Rav Papa, what about the following methods? What if he does it a bit differently than typical? Kamatz beroshes boisav mal. What about using his fingertips? So he has his palm facing the material, and he just uses his fingertips to draw the material into his palm. Does that work? Mulamatala malamo. What about coming from bottom up? See, he has his hand position in a way where the back of his hand is facing downward, and he cuts into the material that way at an angle with the back of his hand, with the top of his hand, not the palm, the top of his hand facing downward, and he scoops up in that manner. That's not really a typical way of doing it. What about doing it sideways? What does this mean? So once again, he has the top of his hand, not the palm, the top of his hand facing downward, resting on the material, and he swings his hands back and forth to allow the material to trickle into his, between his fingers, into his palm, and then does a scoop and takes it out. Now, what does Allah Khadir take? We leave it unresolved. Amar Papa, a similar question regarding chafina. What's the right way of doing it? Pshitili, it's clear to me, when the Torah says a handful, could the chafina inchi, the way it's ordinarily done. So he has two hands on either side and brings them together, filling them as one, and that's the chafina. So he cups them together and takes a handful. So that's the proper way. Could the chafina inchi, the way it's typically done. But Rav Papa, asks, what about the following way? Chafan b'rashetz b'oisav mal. What if he inserts both hands with the palm facing upward, back of the hand facing down, into the keteris, and draws the keteris into his hands in that manner? Milamata lamalamo. What about if he's not just using his fingertips, as in the previous shaila, but he actually angles his hands into the keteris, once again his palms facing upward, the back of his hand facing downward, and he angles into the keteris all the way into the keteris and scoops out in that manner. So the previous case was just Rosh Eitz B'Oisav. So he's angling somewhat, just the fingertips are entering the keteris, and he draws keteris out that way. Now he's actually inserting both hands, but just upside down. The top of his hand is facing downward and angling into the keteris and scooping up in that manner. Milamata l'malama. Minat sadma. Once again, sideways. Suppose he rests the top of his hands on the keteris material and vibrates back and forth to allow the keteris to enter his hands and then cups his hands together. Mao. Chafan bezu u bezu. Suppose He drew keteris separately. He cupped one hand, cupped another, filled them both independently, and then brought them together. And then brought them together as one chafina mau. Will be halacha in all these cases. Teku, we leave it as a shak. Okay, time for Rif Chazar of today's daf. We began with the kaf and the machta. The kaf was the ladle, which was empty at this point. The machta was filled with tiris brought from the lishkas b'saptinos. Ken Gadol would take a handful, a melechafnav, of that tiris and pour it into the ladle, and then grab hold of the machta containing the coals, which he would hold in his right hand. It was heavy or it was hot, and then he would have the kaf containing the tiris in his left and take it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in that manner. The Gemara spoke about Rishmol ben Kimchis, whose hands had a very large capacity. Rishmol ben Pavi, his mother was a tzaddikus, always covered her hair, and Meschos HaTzniyah, she was zeichet to have 7 sons as Kahana Gedolim all throughout her lifetime. It's a shaila, why does the Gemara mention the mother and not mention anything about the father here? There were several terutzim, perhaps these were sons from various husbands, or perhaps the father was not an Adam Kasher, not a Tzadik, we don't want to mention him, or he actually passed away midway, and he didn't actually witness, he didn't actually experience these 7 sons serving Mikuna Gedolah. She was the one to be Zeicha, to actually witness and experience this wondrous phenomenon of having all 7 sons serve Mikuna Gedolah capacity. Okay, let's proceed to Kemitza and Chafin. By Kemitza, we have a pasuk which says Bekumtzai, we learn from there. It needs to be done through a masa Kemitza. You can't just have an artificial Kemitza be done like having a mida, some sort of measuring cup, instead of actually scooping it out with his fingers. We learn from Bekumtzai as well that the material has to be contained within the Kemitz, as opposed to a Kemitz Mevuratz, which has material squirting out in all directions. From Meloi Kumtzai, we learn, it has to be a full Kemitz, rather than just using his fingertips. What about some material trapped between his fingers? So if they're visible inside, they're considered part of the kaimitz. Visible on the outside, they're considered shirayim. What if they're not visible on the inside or on the outside? We have a suffix in the Gemara, what's considered kaimitz or shirayim. Regarding the method of kmitza, well, we know the way it's typically done. What if he decides to do it using tips of his fingers to draw the material into his fist? Or milmata lamala, placing his hand upside down and working that way. Or menatzdadim, placing it sideways and vibrating back and forth to have the material trickle into his hand. We leave it with a teiku. Regarding chafina, we learn that there's a shaila whether he can use a midah l'chafina. If he wants to have a measuring cup which contains the capacity of his handful, is that okay or not? The shaila is, see, the pasuk only says malay chafnav. It has to be a handful. Let's say he has to actually do the chafina. Is that okay? Or perhaps we use the gzeir shava, maloi maloi from kaimetz, just as there. It needs to be actually done manually. Perhaps chafina has that requirement as well. By chafina, we also have the same shaila regarding material trapped in the seam between his hands. And the shaila is whether vehevi is needed. Man, that's included in vehevi. He's delivering it. Or perhaps you need a masa lekicha, which does not relate that material trapped between his hands. And we'll leave it as teiku. Rav Papa presented several alternate methods of chafina, bereshet bois, malmata lamala, menatzdadin, or he did a separate chafina, one in each hand, and then drew them together, connected his 2 hands, chafan v'kivrin zetzalzeh, is that considered malay chafra for not? Then we'll leave it as a teiku. Much hatzlacha to you on Kol Tov.